Every delegate has gotten a delegate card. Has everyone signed in and gotten a delegate card? Morning. Good. All right. All right. 1 minute to starting. 1 minute to get beverages and food and get in your seats. All right. Okay, we're supposed to start, actually. Our first item of business is at 9:20, so we're starting slightly late. Are there any concerns with the agenda for this morning? Does anyone want to voice any concerns with the agenda? Right. I was told by Jim that I'm supposed to ask that question. I'm just following orders. I am only following orders. Okay, Kat, then I retract it. All right, then we'll move on to the first order of business. Is the presenter, which is Jane. Is Jane here to present the presentation of the delegate slate? Or the elector slate, excuse me, I misspoke. How many delegates do we have? There's not a test for quorum. There's not a regional test on the second day. What is the total number? Not regional quorum. Okay, so how many do we have a delegate count?
We have 28 delegates.
And quorum would be, I'm not a math major, what?
23,
so it's 28, and quorum is 23. All right, so is Jane here, are we ready to proceed? Is Jane here, is Jane Rands here?
Yes, right there.
She's still at the breakfast table? Oh, there she is. Okay, sorry. She's turned away. Okay, there we go. Okay. All delegates, please be seated.
You've got to put the microphone closer. You don't, not that you actually need it, right? Is Jane not ready? I thought we had to do quorum every day. Not regional quorum, but... Yeah.
Okay, we'd kind of like to get started somewhere near on time. Could the delegates... Wow. Yep. Let's sit down.
Jane, you want to...
Okay, I want to...
First of all, that list that's going around, The list that's going around, I hear people saying things about some of the people on the list. I have to apologize. There's some mistakes on there, and I'd be more than happy to... Yes. You know what would be probably really helpful? If you guys want to cross off names on your list, I'm okay with that. And then give them to me.
Sorry, I'm not...
I guess people look at this, that's fine. So anyways, in the based on the Peace and Freedoms Election Code, let me see which one I'm going to start with. The convention meeting of the State Central Committee shall nominate as candidates of its party as many electors, this is written really oddly, of president and vice president shall be women and, vice president of the United States as the state is then entitled to, which we get 55, 50% of whom shall be women and 50% men. Along those lines, too, there's another election code that's section that says in the year of the general election of which the electors of president and vice president of the United States are to be chosen, the convention shall also nominate as the candidates of its party as many electors of president and vice president of the United States as the state is then entitled to, and shall certify, well, and then I certify the name and the address to the Secretary of State's office, which is the due date's October 1st, so we're cool with that. So the process, or what we need to do today is select the electors, and there's people on this list that are incorrect. There's three categories on there, and one of them is people who served as delegates or as whether by proxy or So Sandra, if you want to make corrections to that list, that would be great. If you want to make corrections, if there was changes to that. So it's people who served as delegates for McKinney to the nominating convention, people who were, the goal was to have donors on that list, all donors to the GPCA. At the time, that list, I just got this today, we're going to add to that also our high-level donors. That just includes sustainers. And the third category is anyone who's been elected as a Green, that's on the list that's posted online. And I have to apologize. There's some people who we've lost that are on that list. And I'm sorry about that. Do you have any go ahead. Clarifying question? Is it the process? Okay, yeah, let's take clarifying questions.
Given that we need about 55 and, they say it's impossible in a group to do more than a few things in a few minutes, maybe does it make sense to have some kind of committee be delegated? Because I don't know if you were thinking of another way to do this, to try to, in a limited amount of time, come up with the actual precise 55 names?
I think maybe you need to clarify that this list goes nowhere but a filing for.
Yeah.
Do we have a
we can either answer. Mike, point of process.
We'll answer after each one.
You can take all the questions.
Mike? Yeah, what? Yeah, well, and. Yes.
Sorry. Do we have a little recorder on?
Yes, she's right here. Any other points of process? Okay. Other clarifying questions? Please come up and stand at the mic if you have clarifying questions.
Well, I just had a suggestion. Groups where we've had to do something like this, not in this particular case, you give everybody a certain number of votes, like a certain number of dots, right? And you put a dot on everybody that you like, and then you look, at the end, who are the 55 who've got the most dots, Like if you're allowed to vote for, say, 10, or you're allowed to vote for, like, 20. And then whoever has the most dots afterwards, the 55 with the most dots, would then be your people.
Okay, yeah, I have a process suggestion, too. Remember that we're talking about electors to the Electoral College, which means unless our presidential candidate wins, that this list and this whole project just ends up as a list of paper in a filing drawer. These people never go anywhere. They never do anything. It's just a filing project. So you... Yes, and it ends up in a filing drawer in the Secretary of State's office unless our presidential candidate's going to win. So I'm really suggesting you might think about how complicated you really want to make this.
Oh,
I think your idea is good.
Could I, as I understood it, but maybe I'm wrong, is that this was going to be a way that we would, you know, let our donors know that we actually know who they are. And so we actually thought of this as sort of, okay, not to call it a fundraising thing, because we're not going to ask them for money, but a thing where we would write to our donors and say, hey, how would you like to be one of our presidential electors? You lucky guys, you are among the party elite. And therefore, the next time we ask them for money, they're more likely to give us money. That was what I thought the concept was of even writing to them, which I don't think we've done in the past.
And county of origin, please.
Okay, Jacqueline Blad, County of Origin, LA, 20th Senate District. How do you handle people that are not registered green anymore on the...
We dump them.
You dump them. Would you like to know the ones that aren't registered green?
Can you... Okay, yeah, well, can you consult later with... I mean, if we're... right.
So... A quick question: do you ask them? Do you ask these people if they want to be
name and county, please? I'm sorry.
Do you ask them if they want to be elected? You know.
Right, and could you state your name and county?
Oh, Patty Marsh, Alameda County.
Okay.
Because I know some people on this list don't.
Right.
Support.
So can the presenters answer that question?
It's just because they're green doesn't mean they support the people.
I'm sorry, Patty. I didn't hear you.
Nobody could hear anything you said.
I'm just wondering if these people are asked if they want to be electors, because do they have a chance to say no? Because some of them don't support Cynthia McKinney on that list, I know.
Yes, they do.
So this is a thought, is, and I'm sorry that I don't really have a process in place. I wasn't clear how it was done before, and I didn't bother to ask Jim either. What would be useful is, because I what's kind of nice about having the list is that, and if you did order them, as Kat suggested, I think it's a good idea, then if someone declines accepting, we could add the next person down, ask them if they would like to serve. The reason I kind of like threw it out there is it's supposed to be for you guys, or the people who are supposed to decide who these electors are, and... So there it is, the whole list. Now, the one issue I do have that may not work so well is I just got this list today because there was a little problem with our with the software for the filings. So our treasurer could only get me a hard copy of this, and just got it this morning. So I wasn't able to incorporate it into that list. And these are a few people who are really good donors. So would it be possible that we could handle them as a group in the ordering, like we could agree to put them at the top of the list based on them being registered green and willing to serve? And just to clarify, the direction I got from the CC was to also ask the McKinney campaign, and you'll see none of them are included on there, anybody that they wanted included. But they threw it back and said, it's really up to your state to do it. And I said, well, would it be okay if we included the McKinney delegates? I told them who would be on that list, and they said that was fine. October 1st.
Okay, so can you recapitulate the process now? I mean, this is the potential electors, right? And you go and you ask them and make sure that they're registered green. Then from this list, you select 55. Is that correct? Or
yes.
Well, I have a process suggestion. How about we go with, and you can repeat this morning, the list of McKinney delegates that they supply, and work with finance on donors. And between those two lists, I'm sure there's 55 donors.
Sustainers alone, there's 75.
Okay.
Right. So I don't... Point of process? Is that what it is?
No, I just wanted to add, I like what Jim just said, and I just wanted to add one more thing, and that would be elected to me with like Jim Hoffman, I think, really.
Not
I mean, on the other, it's not a job of who's good.
Right, Jim didn't mention the elected Greens. But you didn't mean to exclude them. Right, so everybody on the list is up for grabs in addition, our wonderful top dollar donors. Right, so would it be acceptable to the GA if people mark up your sheets, if there's anyone that... Now, the only issue that potentially could be someone might feel... I mean, I guess it should work out all right, that if everyone sort of marks their top 55 people and makes special notes to cross out someone if and with a little note why they're being... they should not, and then I can double-check on those things before I exclude them. I'd love to have it. We need 55 electors. So if you select 55, I think that would be good, because potentially everyone could elect or could select the same 55. I guess that could leave me stuck, but
if they don't all accept. You've spoken, Jack's spoken. Jan, you haven't asked. Jan?
Well, but, okay. If you want to give priority to donors, I think many of us in this room, we're more familiar with the delegates than we are with the donors. So, you know, you're going to get people marking their list, they're going to get a higher proportion on the delegate side than the donors. Whereas I think Jim's suggestion and Gene Rosenmeyer's suggestion is correct. I think that we should try to get our donors who are less involved to give them that invitation. So I prefer, like, we have, you know, 35 or 40 donors, maybe 10 or 15 electeds, and then, you know, a small number of delegates, you know. So we can mark it, but you guys should set the priorities, and I think the priorities should be weighed in donors and then electeds.
So is that acceptable to the presenter, Jane?
Okay, so that's a friendly amendment that the selection of the 55 should be weighted towards donors first and then electeds second, and that will it... you and whoever you want to work with make the exact proportion.
Is that acceptable?
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
so...
should we agree to that?
Jim?
Just a question.
Okay, sorry. Jim Stauffer, Santa Clara County. The question about whether we ask these people if they want to be on the list or not. In 2004... we didn't really do that. I mean, the campaign, I asked the campaign to give me a list of their people to do this. They gave it to me, and I think I had to fill in with a couple of other people. We didn't go through this process of going out and contacting 55 people, waiting to get a response back from them to see if they want to be on there. So, and I wouldn't advocate really pursuing that too much, but I can see with the donors how you do want to contact them, because it's kind of a, you know, keep you in the loop and talk to them some more. So can the Finance Committee, such as it is, help out with the task of contacting these donors and getting the confirmation back? The other ones, personally, I wouldn't worry too much about contacting them. I just will use their name, electeds and delegates.
Well, that comes down to essentially three of us making all these telephone calls.
Oh, well, send letters.
What?
Send them a letter.
You can do it. We'll speak to that.
We'll use the magic of mail merge.
All right, so that's affirmative that we'll do that. And we'll do that. It's agreed that they are the first priority, the donors. And then it's my understanding the second priority would be the elected officials. Is that correct? Or and the third priority are the McKinney delegates, until such time as we have 55 people who acquiesce to being electors. Is that how it's going to work? Jack? Jack Lindbeth. What? No, it's acceptance in the order that they're listed, right? Is that correct? In the order that they're listed, you'll run through the list in the order they're listed until we achieve the 55. Is that correct?
No.
No?
We're not voting.
We're not. It's not been established.
Well, if you guys want to go through a level of process.
Okay. Okay. So submit your votes as a recommendation, but it's left to the discretion of the Secretary of State and her assistant, or who will assist her. and yeah. Okay. All right, let's do it. Okay, so is that?
And I'm assuming that we're not going to bother contacting the electeds and waiting for them to confirm.
So the electeds will be put in block. So can you recapitulate the process, and then we'll be finished with this, unless there are outstanding concerns. Okay, Jake. Okay, Jane.
Okay, so what we're going to do is. We're going to include all of the top donors, not including the sustainers.
The sustainers.
Okay. Included? Okay. So top donors and sustainers. And then if we don't have 55 electors, again, it has to be balanced 50% women and 50% men. It's off by one, obviously, because it's 55, so. if we don't have 55 at that point, then we will ask our elected Greens and then move to the delegates by if that's acceptable. So I would ask if you're ranking to probably do the list of sustainers first off, because those are the ones we're most likely to get to, if that's all you have time for, and then get to mainly I want cleanup from you guys. That's what I really would like.
Okay, so that's our process, and we're out of time for this, so we need to move on. Do you have a blocking concern that's overriding? And
no, I just want to respond to what Jim said about the.
Okay. So we have a process established. Let's move on to the next item. Okay. So thank you very much. If we don't hear from them, they're off the list. Okay, Warner. Next is Warner presenting on. Ballot initiative.
All right, Warner, you ready?
5 minutes over.
Yeah, do you want us up there or down here or what?
Right, where do you prefer?
All right, well, let me start here, and Greg and I can deal with this. Okay, Warner Blumberg, Santa Clara County.
Warner, hold on a second. Okay, it's been pointed out to us that we do not have some of the requisite people. We need a timekeeper, since we've already slipped 8 minutes. And we only finished the first item. Anybody have a watch that would like to volunteer to keep time for us?
Okay.
Hey, there he is.
Okay.
Ron, thank you.
Okay, this is supposed to go
an hour
to 1 hour to 10:35. We're 8 minutes over, so that we take that 8 minutes out of the breakout session and go to 10:45. Okay,
all right, 10:45. All right, 10:45. Wait. Do we have a vibes watcher? Would someone like to be our vibes watcher?
Any vibes? Okay. Male, female? Okay.
Tony and? All right, and Dan. All right, two vibes watchers. Good.
All right, sorry.
Go ahead, Warner. Sorry.
All right, Warner Blumberg, Santa Clara County, Coordinator Campaigns and Candidates Working Group. This is going to be a plenary review of ballot initiatives for the purpose of taking Green Party of California positions on those initiatives. I'm talking so fast because we have a very short amount of time to do this. In the event that people did not print out the copies of the ballot measures reports that were published as a supplement to the agenda packet, and were also sent out on your county council email list, there are a limited number of printed copies that Michael Bornstein has distributed. Hopefully there's people, at least some folks did do their own printing. The new ones, however, include two additional reports, one from Alameda County, opposing Proposition 1, which is the high-speed rail bond measure, and a second one, although it's printed twice on the, in this, they're both in the back, from Tim Smith, who is arguing in favor of Proposition 11, the redistricting measure. So what's going to happen is I'm going to explain the process and background, and then Greg Jan is going to facilitate the actual going through the measures, and our facilitators will be conducting tests for consensus and straw polls. Because of the time considerations, this is going to be sort of a shortened process. But basically, there are two ways the state party can take positions opposing or supporting ballot measures, and that is either through county polling or through votes as the plenary. We passed an updated procedures at the Berkeley plenary for this. We are in the middle now of a county polling period, which ends September 21st. However, since we have a plenary in the middle here, if the plenary takes positions on any of these proposals on the ballot, then those are the positions of the state party. But for ballot measures where we cannot take a position here, then county polling continues through the deadline. Just a few kudos. Greg Jan was instrumental in collecting and compiling the reports, as he's done for a number of years. Thank you, Greg. And in general, Alameda County really has been it's one of their things to look at these measures, but there are other folks who have contributed also. And our current county polling coordinators are Kat Woods and Tim Smith. So your county council, someone from your county council has the responsibility of emailing or telephoning those poll results to both Tim and Kat, one way or the other. Kat, as you heard, would prefer telephone communications. So she needs your county council phone numbers. You have to get your reports in for each of the outstanding ballot measures that aren't decided here. We have had problems with the quorum in past county pollings, so it's part of the responsibility of the local county organizations to participate in this fashion. Now, so having laid that background, here's the process we're using. We're going to go through some of the measures that we think, based on our key values and platform and past positions we've taken on similar ballot measures, where we think it's likely that there's consensus in this room. And then after that, we'll go through some of the others, and if there are any concerns, just concerns like on a consent calendar, then what we will do is take a quick straw poll by holding up delegate cards for, against, abstaining, no position. No position means the party should take a no position as against taking a position for or against. That's a fourth category in addition to abstentions in this process. If we have time, and if there's one or more measures that seem there's relatively close to a decision, then at that point we'll go through those where it seems that there's only a few concerns involved, and if we have time to take a vote, we will. If we don't, then, as I said, the county polling process will continue. So the facilitator's role in this is to check for consensus on the ones that are identified and to conduct the straw polls, and then maybe a vote if we have time. So I'm going to turn this over now to Greg to let him present the list one at a time where we think we can reach consensus.
Okay, Greg Jan, Alameda County. If you've got your list in front of you, the ones we're going to be looking at first, which hopefully we'll have quick consensus on, are the first four even ones, 2, 4, 6, 8. who do we have consensus on? Well, okay. All right. So I guess facilitators, I'm just going to quickly mention it, and then if we want to see if there's any test for consensus. Okay, first, number two, treatment of farm animals. I think, you know, you saw our write-up, said no-brainer, okay? So you want to test for consensus now? Okay, any unresolved concerns? We have consensus. Okay, all right. Go ahead, say any unresolved concerns.
Any unresolved concerns on number two? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Okay, the animals are now saved. Thank you, the Green Party. Oh yeah, that was yes, of course. Yes for the initiative. Okay. Okay, folks. Sorry, it's all going on. Number four, the waiting period for under 18 abortions. This was no. It's very similar to the ones we've opposed in the past.
Okay. Any unresolved concerns? Okay. Passed by consensus.
Okay. Great. Okay. Number six is the. Okay. All right, the next one, number six, is the infamous runner initiative. This happens to be one that we've already taken a no position in our county. But anyway, since we don't have that option now, we'll just go, obviously the recommendation is no. This is, you know, get tough and get tougher. So.
Any concerns? Okay, pass number six, passed by consensus.
Okay, thank you.
We oppose that, right?
No.
Yeah. We're opposing everything except for that first one on humane treatment of animals. And the last of this group is the elimination of same-sex marriage. I don't need to explain. This is the most famous one of it. No.
Any concerns? No, and no, girlfriend.
All right. Okay, so those are the quick ones. Now we'll see if I don't know exactly how the process works. Okay, but we'll go back now. Number one is high-speed rail, and originally the recommendation was yes with reservations, and now the recent one we submitted is no. We're opposing this now. Although in our county we call it no with regrets. Anyway, what do you want to do for this? Okay. Well, I guess given the recent one we submitted, Senator, we're not changing this. We're asking a recommendation to oppose this, that we would oppose this regrettably. It's just not the right way to get this. Do you want to take any questions or whatever, or do a straw poll or what?
Let's. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Then, so we go to a straw poll. Okay. Are there any clarifying questions first?
Well,
okay. What? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that will come up. Clarifying. Okay. John. John Wendler, L.A.
I read the thing and I agree with no regrets, but it might be useful for those who haven't heard the argument to have an outline.
Right. So, can someone please succinctly state the objections to this? Please name and county
board. Bob Marsh, Alameda County. Most of the information from this came from a large organization of rail advocates, in fact, I would call them rail geeks, called TRAC. We're based in Sacramento. It's a nationwide organization. And they really want high-speed rail. But this initiative is not really about high-speed rail. It's about two things. One, a land scam, which has been going on for over 10 years, and a whole bunch of people closely connected with Schwarzenegger and Angelides before him have bought land along the route Remember Leland Stanford? He's the guy who sort of set the pace for that. They're doing the same thing now. And they also have behind this Parsons Brinckerhoff, rather infamous for many projects, but in particular the Big Dig, which is now up to $22 billion when it started out in Boston, when it started off being $1 billion. Basically, the $10 billion is only, they estimate, one quarter of what they need. And they say that some of the remaining money is going to come from private investors. So essentially what we are doing, if we vote for this, is to borrow money to provide seed funding for venture capitalists, in effect, who hopefully will make money on trains. Now, the other problem, though, is that if you look at the numbers that they use to justify the business case, they're completely preposterous. And they're actually on the second page here of the handout, which I'm not sure most of you read. It was sent in an email and then just put in the packet this morning for the first time. But basically, they say something like 100-something million riders a year on the high-speed rail network, when in France, the most popular TGV line only has 25. And these are people who ride trains all the time. So their whole business case is full of more holes than Swiss cheese. And I don't think it's the business of the Green Party to force land scams and big dig type, you know, boondoggles on the people of California, especially in a situation where we have a huge budget deficit.
All right. So, are there any more clarifying questions? Yes, Larry.
Can we hear Jamie's concern?
Yeah, some of you know, Jean Rosenmeyer from San Francisco. Some of you know that I'm chairing up a task force reporting to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors on coping with rising oil and gas prices. And one of the things that I found out in the course of this is that San Francisco does have a rail line that comes into the city, one rail line. It goes through a tunnel that's not big enough for modern rail cars, freight rail cars. And so I'm just about persuaded, Bob, I have to tell you, but my initial reaction, if this passes, there will be money to enlarge that tunnel and enable San Francisco to prepare to get, because at the moment, all freight coming into the city, it comes by truck, except, you'll love this, except they ship aggregate from Sacramento by barge. But other than that, everything comes by truck. So San Francisco is extremely vulnerable in the freight side to peak oil. Anyway, that was my concern, is that I'd sure like San Francisco to be able to enlarge this tunnel. I'd like to have the money, but it's a really good point, the land scam thing. I withdraw my objection.
Okay. All right, so we'll now take a straw poll. Okay, I'm sorry, clarifying question? Or I don't think... Okay, well, we allowed one concern.
Sandy Stiasny, Orange County. I wanted to first thank Bob for his carefully researched rebuttal. It seems to me, given the choice of the state spending money on more corrections institutions, more tollways, more freeways, that this seems to be, in a long-term basis, if you overlook some of the obvious flaws with it, a good use of the state's money. If you look at the development of Orange County, the cities of Irvine, Orange, Fullerton, all have rail transportation, which has been overlooked, but in the future could become a very valuable resource in terms of managing density, creating more eco-friendly environments. The $10 billion that the state's asking us to approve, hopefully some of that will go towards creating better environments throughout the state of California. Because of that, since I am a gullible environmentalist, I think we should take a second look at this and say yes. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, I'm sorry, you have a concern that's not been expressed? Or? All right. One more concern, and then we close it out and take a straw poll.
Andrea Dory from Santa Clara County and the home of BART, which I love and ride all the time, and I hear a lot of BART bashing. And the concern I have here is that I see a lot of scam, and that is a very emotional term. I'd like to know more about, if you don't like the way this is being financed, how you think it should be financed. Where are you going to get the money from, you know, to get this started? So we need to think about turning down something like this, because it isn't often that we get people to get on board with public transportation. So just think about it.
Thank you. Okay, that closes the stat. Now we'll take a straw poll. First is yes. Yes means that we support it. No means we do not support it. Okay? So hold up your delegate cards. All that wish to support this proposition, please hold up your delegate cards. Okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. All that wish to oppose it, please hold up your delegate card. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20. With regret, I get 20. Does anybody else get that count? Okay.
That's right, because
all right.
We have to ask for abstentions.
Okay.
No positions.
Okay, any abstentions and no positions?
Which one card?
We have
different things about it.
What? Okay, we'll do it separately then. Okay, abstentions? Thank you. Okay, abstention 3, no positions. 1. Okay, so we oppose this. We move on to the next proposition.
No.
With regret. What?
That's not 80%.
Okay, so.
4, 20 again, right? 3 abstain.
You don't count the abstentions.
Oh.
Warner, point of process.
Yeah, a straw poll is not a vote. Now,
right,
now,
that's true.
So the presentation was that unless it was very close, we would let it go to county polling.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's up to the facilitators whether you want now for us to actually take the time here now to take a vote to resolve this particular
one. Okay.
All right. Well, it's very close, but if the exact same numbers hold, it's not going to pass. So the critical thing, of course, is those that oppose it. Is anybody of the 6 people that raised their hand are opposing it, do you think that you'd change your vote if we took a real vote? Okay, so it's not going to pass if we take a real vote. Well, there was an argument in two arguments. There were two arguments that spoke in favor, and then the initial argument was against, and there was none. So we have heard it, and in the interest of time, because, you know, there are 12 total propositions, I think that we have to give some play to the rest of them. This is only the first one of the ones we're talking
about.
Okay,
so presenters with...
Yeah, so this goes to county polling. Everybody has a chance to cast the votes. You can lobby everybody here. You can lobby all the counties. In democratic fashion. So
do we have one more to move on, Greg, by consensus, or are we through? We've done 4, 6, and...
No. We have 12 propositions.
Right.
We've done 5.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to move on then, because we got lots more. What? Yeah. Okay, well, in any case, you know, we're going to move on because we got lots more to do here, okay? So we've done 2, 4, 6, 8. We did number 1, so now we're going to number 3. The $2 billion Children's Hospital Bond, you were sent the write-ups. The only write-up was to oppose this. I guess you could use the word boondoggle. There's 5 arguments against it. I'm not going to repeat them all now. If we can ask for any clarifying questions or any quick comments.
Okay, so clarifying questions. All right. Let's test for no clarifying questions. Consensus, are there any outstanding concerns?
We're opposing this. We want to oppose this.
For opposing it. So no concerns. It's passed by consensus. So next.
Okay, great. That was quick. Okay. Number five is the nonviolent offenders in sentencing. Again, there was two. There were two write-ups. Both were in support. This is so that nonviolent offenders can have an alternative program. It won't be locked up. Anyway, there's two write-ups. Hopefully, you got a chance to read them all. Any clarifying questions? The position is yes. We want to support this as an alternative.
So are there any? Okay, there are no clarifying questions. We're moved to consensus. Are there no clarifying questions? Okay, move to consensus. Are there any concerns, outstanding concerns? Okay, so we support this.
Okay, yes on five. Thank you very much. Okay, so then we're going on to number seven. This is the renewable energy requirements for utilities. There are two write-ups that are opposing this. Hopefully you got a chance to read all the information there. A lot of reasons why to oppose this. Any clarifying questions? Yes. Okay. Go ahead then. You want to test for consensus? Okay. I guess we have time for a few. Go ahead.
You want to come up? Or?
Come up to the microphone. Todd Bennett in Orange County. According to the people that are putting this proposition together, the environmental groups and all the groups that are opposed to this, the groups that are actually opposing this are, it's attributed to cronyism, that they actually get grants from the utility companies, and the removing the cap would actually give it some teeth because the utility companies already incorporate into doing business the $25 million that they pay every year. So those are some of my...
You're in favor of...
I'm in... Yes.
Okay. And
can you take that
really quickly? I'm
talking there. Okay. What did you want?
Just restate why you're in favor of
this. Oh, because it actually gives... what we have in place, it actually makes it more effective, gives it more teeth, so to speak, by removing the cap on their penalties, because they already incorporate that into doing business. Yeah, it'll make it what's in place already stronger. And the fact that these environmental groups get grants from the utility companies.
So it's my understanding that we don't have consensus and move to a straw poll, so can we meet... Can we hear from other concerns? Is there a stat?
Andrew Dory from Santa Clara County. I want to second what he said. I thought that was really great. And I think any time I see business, political, consumers, and utility people against it because they don't want to raise taxes or use money for something that is important as this, that's a plus to me. And, I'm concerned about the fact that we haven't listed a lot of people that would probably back this, that are other groups that are very interested in the environment. So I think this is a rather incomplete outline of this thing. And so I am a little concerned about this, but I would step aside if people want that.
Jan Arnold, Alameda County, not very technically savvy here. There is big money on both sides of this. I'm one of these no with regrets. So of course we want more solar energy, and I think solar thermal is wonderful and rooftop solar is wonderful. These things are all wonderful. We want more of both of them. But I think that the opponents to, I think it is interesting to know who is opposing, who's our company if we oppose Prop 7. It's not just the environmental groups that are questionable, and some of these are questionable, the Environmental Defense Fund, Natural Resource Council. Union of Concerned Scientists is against it. The California Solar Energy Industries Association is against it. The Independent Energy Producers Association is against it. The Center for Energy Efficiency and Renewable Technologies is against it, partly because this is partly about centralization versus decentralization. The people are for centralized production of electricity are for it, and the people that are... Now, I'm not against that, but I'm also in favor of decentralized production of electricity on rooftops. Labor is against it, and you could say, well, they've got people installing solar on rooftops, and they don't want to see that starved in favor of big solar thermal in the desert. So, you know, there's some self-interest involved, but still, labor's against it. The Republican and Democratic parties are against it, and... well, I mean, no matter what position we take... There's interesting support and opposition for this measure.
Tian Harder, Santa Clara County. I didn't know much about it before last night, and I still don't know much about it. But I do know that that seems to be the only proposition that bothered to send people to lobby us at our party. And that means something to me. I think, you know, even though they were kids in clean T-shirts, they showed up.
All right. The stack is closed after Jack, so anybody else that wants to be in the stack, please come forward.
Good morning, fellow gullible environmentalists. I think we need to take a joint action to become less gullible. Now, there's something we really have to remember about propositions in general. They're extremely difficult to undo because the general principle in our state is that anything passed by the voters can only be undone by the voters. And so if you make a mistake, it's like Prop 13. Remember that? Well, a proposition has to be right or you cannot support it. And this one is 70 pages of fine print. It's absurdly complicated. It's just simply impossible for this to be a good law. Okay? So my view is we should always have a default of no on virtually any proposition. A proposition has to prove that it's really right, and very rarely is that the case.
What I wanted to say has been said already, so I'll keep it short and sweet. It's too complicated, and I support decentralized. Daniel Alavi in Orange County. And it's overcomplicated, and I support decentralized energy.
Jack Lindblad, San Fernando Valley, Los Angeles, 20th District and 39th Assembly running. Oh, great, that's my issue. Decentralization, that's one issue that we know it's a 10-key value, and to vote in favor of the proposition, I guess, is to feed into the dark nightmare of Democrats and Republicans doing more greenwashing. I don't know why they're opposed to it. They should be in favor of it. And whenever someone in my district would ask me, I would say, well, that feeds into bioregional determinism, where everyone is ceasing being a mindless consumer unit and being a creative person, because we have to be creative about painting solar collectors on our walls, outside on roofs or out buildings or what have you, and having the farm close by and maybe producing the gasoline from corn production. Ethanol is another issue, but it goes to the root of centralized farming as opposed to communal type farming. Well, that's it.
All right, so now we'll take a straw vote to be consistent. We'll do yes first. Yes means supporting the proposition, and no means opposing the proposition. So all delegates, and then abstain, and no position. Okay, sorry. Yes. Okay, who is willing? Warner?
Abstention means essentially you're here, but you're not participating in the decision-making, and you're letting others make the decision. No position means you are affirmatively advocating that the state party should take neither a yes vote nor a no vote on this ballot measure.
Is that clear to everyone? Does anyone need further? Okay, all right. So first, yes on the proposition. All delegates who wish to support it, please raise your delegate cards. 1, 2, 3, 4. Does the note taker have it? And the Okay. All right. No, that we oppose it. I get 20, but I may have missed one. Did somebody else take an account? Somebody else get a count? Is that correct? I think I may have missed.
I got
21. 21. I think I missed 24. So, okay, 21. Is that consistent with everybody else's count?
I have 22.
Okay, let's hold them high and
it's a straw poll. It's close enough.
All right. Okay, so we'll call it 21. All right. Abstentions. 2. Okay, thank you. No position. 2. All right. Okay, so that falls short of the 80%.
Well, on this one, it's...
Is it 80?
Right, but that was a straw poll. So it's close enough, I think we should go to a formal vote. The vote will be for the Green Party of California to oppose this. So let's see. So I guess you have to say what? Everyone, yes that we should oppose this, or no that we should not oppose it, or you can stand aside from us opposing it.
That's really confusing. Can we just do?
You can do it your way.
Oh yeah.
All right. Okay. Okay. We'll do it the
yes,
same way.
We support
okay.
The opposition. No, we don't.
Okay.
Abstain.
Okay.
No position.
Okay. So, okay, so no. We'll do the same thing again. So no will be to our position should be no. So we should, if you want to oppose it, you should vote no.
Okay, are we doing it? We have to do it number by number, okay? Okay, here we go. Okay, we have... All right, we have 31 delegates present. I got past kindergarten. I can get
okay.
All right.
May I mention something? I've noticed that during the voting, when, even in straw polls, we're in kind of an informal kind of venue. People are sitting at different angles. And I saw two cards straight on. You couldn't even see them. So we're missing a few votes. You have to twinkle your card so we know that.
Okay, right. All right.
You sure?
Okay, are we ready? This is by roll call. Okay, so we're ready to start. Delegate number 1. Delegate number 2.
No.
Delegate number 3.
No.
Delegate number 4.
No.
Delegate number 5 votes no. Delegate number 6.
No.
Delegate number 7. Is 7 present? We'll come back to 7. Delegate number 8. 8 present? We'll come back to 8. Delegate number 9. Delegate number 10.
Yes, Jessica.
Wait, hold on a second.
Only one. Only one. Yes.
He perseverates.
Okay.
Okay, Ted. Delegate number 11.
Oh, yes. No.
Delegate. Okay, delegate number 11. Delegate number 12. 12 not present?
That's me. No.
No, okay. Delegate number 13. Delegate number 14.
No.
Delegate 15.
No.
Delegate 16.
Just to clarify, no means I oppose the prop.
Yes.
That's correct.
No.
Delegate number 17.
No.
Delegate 18.
Abstain.
Delegate 19.
Abstain.
Delegate 20.
Mid.
I'm sorry?
No.
No. Yeah. Okay. Delegate 21. Stay. Delegate 22.
No.
Delegate 23.
Yes.
Delegate 20. Did you get that, Tim?
Yes.
Okay. Delegate 24.
No.
Delegate 25.
No.
Delegate 26.
No.
Delegate 27.
No.
Delegate 28.
Yes.
Delegate 29. Delegate 30?
No.
Delegate 31?
No.
There should be no other delegates. Now we missed 7 and 8 we missed. 7? Seven.
No.
And 8?
8, no.
No.
Well, it doesn't.
Okay, no. Okay, all right, so can you announce the numbers, please?
Okay, 3 yeses.
Okay, so it passes. Okay, next. The note taker has those numbers. Okay, next proposition, please.
Okay, so let's see. We did 2 versus 8. So we're down to number 9. And number 9 is about victims' rights, and it's also about reduction of parole hearings. So the recommendation is to oppose this. Really makes it tough for parole, and it's already too difficult for parole. Any clarifying questions about this? Okay. So I guess we'll...
Okay, are there any concerns?
The is to oppose this. The recommendation is to oppose this.
So are there any concerns about opposing this proposition? Okay, it's passed by consensus. So.
Thank you. Okay, the next one is number 10. The recommendation is to oppose this. This is something having to do with some billionaire's plan about getting a big a bond, getting a lot of money to subsidize his version of renewable energy. Anyway, so the recommendation is to oppose this. Hopefully, you had a chance to read this.
So, are there any?
Could you read the name of it?
Yeah, it's the Alternative Fuel Vehicles and Renewable Energy Bond. And to oppose this, our recommendation is to oppose this. Any clarifying questions about this? This is T. Boone. T. Boone wants you to do his thing.
Okay, are there any concerns? Okay, that are concerns, then this is, we oppose this by consensus. Next.
Okay, and now the one you've all been waiting for, number 11, redistricting. Okay, the recommendation that was sent out was to oppose this. In fact, there were two recommendations to oppose this. And then there was a very late one that was submitted, Tim Smith. He sent one in late, but it, you know, didn't, anyway, it was late. Okay, so anyway, the recommendation is to oppose this. There's a lot of reasons to oppose it. It's through the write-ups. And which committee? Electoral reform? And electoral reform also, I'll take clarifying questions first and then let electoral reform give its little summary of what they discussed. Okay, any clarifying questions? I'll let electoral reform answer that. Do you have a question?
Point of information.
Yeah.
Under current law, redistricting proposals, I believe, have to pass the legislature by 2/3.
Couldn't hear you.
I said it's my recollection that under existing law, redistricting proposals have to pass the legislature by 2/3. That's why there's the gerrymandering handshake deals between the Democrats and Republicans on redistricting every 10 years.
Okay, if there's no other clarifying questions, we'll have Kat talk from electoral reform.
The point here is that our party believes in proportional representation. That is how Greens have gotten into government in Europe, and it's what we want here. What the redistricting is about is perfecting, you know, making the gerrymandering of single-member districts a little bit more fair for the Republicans. And us us advocating that, oh yeah, you know, we should have like a fair commission where, and it's ridiculously unfair, the commission. But I'm opposed to even, if they gave us a seat in a commission, I'm opposed to even taking it because I just think we should not be involved with redrawing the lines. The whole point of our position on proportional representation is we want, you know, multiple seat districts, multiple member districts, so we can have proportional representation. So if you, you see a certain percentage of the vote, you get a certain percentage of the seats. Perfecting the gerrymandering just means every single district, well, right now, pretty much every single district, you know who's going to win, right? This is a Republican district. This is a Democratic district. All the people, if you have a district that's, you know, 51% Democrats, they will get every single seat, and everybody else is left out of the picture. So perfecting that system so it's a little bit more fair to Republicans under the assumption that everything should be carved up between Democrats and Republicans is absolutely antithetical to what we believe in as a third party. So I just think it would be absolutely abhorrent for us to take a position in favor of making it more fair for Republicans. This is a perfect opportunity for us to take the issue and run with it and say, no, we oppose this because we want proportional representation, and here's the system. Here's a multi-member district system that we endorse, and we talk about California for electoral reform, and the groups have worked on this for years to say, no, this would actually be a fair legislature, and I think we should take it and run with it and absolutely oppose this and use this as a way to promote our actual position.
Okay, so now we'll proceed to a straw poll, correct? Okay, and it's, once again, between the four alternatives, yes, we support it, no, we don't, abstentions, and no positions. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead, sorry, all right. So are there concerns? Are there any concerns?
Concerns with taking a no
position. With a no position, that we take a no position. Is there any concerns?
Okay, there is a concern.
Taking a no position, opposing this proposition, that the Green Party opposes this proposition. Are there any concerns? Is that a concern? Are you raising your hand as a concern?
No. Yeah, I'd be quite willing to stand aside, Kat. My idea is no or yes, we're affirming the current districting method. So by taking no position, it sounds a little wussy to take that position, but to advocate for our idea of proportional representation, would it be better to say no or no position? But with no position, it sounds like we backed out of the race. So that's why I would stand aside. I just don't know which would be the best to get the most bang for... Yeah, which would be the best to get the most bang for our buck, and we don't really have a buck in the race right now.
So you have a concern? Okay. So there are other concerns. Can we form a stack for concerns, please? Thank you.
I only want to state my concern to disagree with Kat in one small, Bob Marsh, Alameda County, in one small way, and that is that if this does pass, I doubt it will, that I think that she's wrong. I think we should be, if we get a seat on this insane, stupid commission that they form, we definitely should take that seat because this is a bully pulpit where we could get tons of publicity for our position and we should have somebody who's really a strong speaker out there to say, this whole thing is bullshit, and I'm not going to support any of this, but we'll get enormous press out of it. Anyway, I'm willing to stand aside.
So, two stand asides, Jack, from the 26th Linwood, Assembly
yeah.
District.
20th Assembly. Right. Well, yeah, let's presume that we're going to have a state assembly elected in one position, and then another position on the redistricting commission, who is going to have 14 people opposing whatever tamping down, you know, gang up on, saying you go to the press and you say that the Democrats are going to lose all their districts and the Republicans are going to lose some and we're going to carve out one for a Green or whatever. It's going to be very difficult for that one person on the commission that's hopefully from the Green Party to speak freely to the press. And I'm in favor, I mean, I'm opposed to the existing pattern, as Warner pointed out, everything is gridlocked now except for the budget. And this has been a song and dance now, somebody pointed out last night at ERWG, that it's going on 20 years, and it's not going to end. Because it's where everyone gets their horses watered. You know, it's the trough. It's the feeding trough right now for the Republicans and the Democrats. So this is a real important issue to empower the state green elected, hopefully me, and to kind of create a whole position that's tenable for the hopeful Green Party member who isn't elected to anything. This has to be a green, non-active green or new green that will be appointed to the commission. So I finished with my time.
Not an outstanding concern that would obviate consensus.
Well, no, I don't have an objection, but I think I'm appealing to Michael to say that no position means that it is wussy, because...
Okay, one more concern. Oh, I'm sorry, Yvonne. Okay, it's closed.
Ron Rigardi from Orange County. Along with Mike said to Kat, we can go no position and give an explanation and keep telling him why.
Drew Johnson, Santa Clara County. I'm in favor of this proposition, and I'm not willing to step aside.
Okay, so we now go to a straw poll. Vote. Yes, Warner?
Given the sense of poker, I'd like to suggest we just go straight to a vote.
Yeah.
Is that acceptable to the presenter? Yes
right.
Or no?
All right.
Yes. Okay, so can we go to a vote, please? Do we have somebody to tally what happened to our board? Who's going to tally?
I'm going to write the paper. We need a volunteer.
Okay, once again, yes means we favor this proposition. No means we oppose this proposition. Abstentions and no position means we officially take no position. So, delegate, are we ready for a vote? Delegate number one.
No.
Delegate number two.
No.
Delegate number three.
No.
Delegate number four.
No.
Delegate five. No. Delegate number six.
No.
Delegate number seven.
No position.
Delegate number eight.
No position.
Delegate nine.
No.
Delegate ten.
No.
Delegate 11, 11, 11.
No.
Delegate 12.
No.
Delegate 13.
No.
Delegate 14.
No.
Delegate 15.
No.
Delegate 16.
No.
Delegate 17.
No position.
Delegate 17, 18.
No.
Delegate 19.
No, no, no.
Delegate 20. Okay, can anybody top that? Delegate 21. No.
No.
Okay. Delegate 22.
No.
Delegate 23.
Yes.
Okay. Delegate 24.
No.
Delegate 25.
No.
Delegate 26.
No.
Delegate 27.
No.
Delegate 28. Okay. Delegate 29.
No.
Delegate 30. Delegate 31.
No.
And we don't have any, 31's our top number still, right? And we have nobody missing. Okay, so it passes, right? Do we have the count?
Yes.
Somebody?
There's
two yeses. Quiet so we can hear the count, please.
There's two yeses, four no positions, one abstain, and everybody else said no.
How many numbers? What's the... What?
24,
no. Okay. All right, so the next, and I think the last proposition, or we oppose it.
Okay. The last one that we're covering, the last proposition, is number 12, Veterans Bond. The recommendation is yes. even though in our county we have standard bond reservations, but we still put yes with standard bond reservations. So anyway, this is to extend the veterans benefits, especially having to do with housing, to the current veterans, Iraq, and I think even going back to the previous war, because before that, the previous veterans had these benefits. You got write-ups on this. Is there any clarifying questions? Okay, well, let's test for consensus.
Okay, are there any concerns?
Concern?
Yes.
Okay, please come to the mic and state your name. And oh, well, she's taking notes, so you'll put.
Okay, I'll go back and take notes when I'm done. Bea Theory, Thiele, Orange County. I'm generally against bonds because they are asking future generations to pay for today's economic needs, tax needs. I think if you, in lieu of bonds, find a way to raise the revenue through taxes or closing tax loopholes or whatever. Okay,
so
thanks.
Are you willing to stand aside, or is this?
No, I'm not willing to stand aside.
Okay. Are there any other concerns? Okay, please form a stack.
Yeah, I always get really conflicted on bond things, and sometimes I go with one thing and one the other thing. But, you know, these bond measures, they actually, you know, profit the most elite sector of our society, and I really disagree with bond measures. And when they pair them with something that's a really good idea, I feel conflicted. I don't even know how I'm going to vote, so I have to at least say I have a concern about that.
What's your county? Oh.
Catwoods, Marin County.
Peggy Coteen, San Luis Obispo County. I would echo what Kat just said. Great concern with bonds. Even if they are for a good cause, it's just seems to be other ways that we have to compel the government to put money aside. So I would like us to take a no position on this.
Jean Rosenmeyer from San Francisco. I'm conflicted about the bond thing. Okay, since this wasn't in the agenda packet, I haven't read it, and I don't actually know anything about it. But normally, when I think about bonds, other than our usual reservations, I think about, you know, when you buy a long-lived asset, something that's going to last a long time, then there's at least a case to be made that we should be borrowing the money to do it because you're sort of paying the money back while the asset is still living, like a mortgage on your house. And I am unclear, but maybe one of the presenters can answer this question, as to whether this is we're borrowing money to pay operating expenses. You know, there's a big difference to me between borrowing money to buy the groceries and borrowing money to buy a house. Right, but we don't ever have a revenue stream from it. Is that correct? I mean. Okay, so if you didn't hear that answer, Greg is saying that this is for VA mortgages, and then it does get paid back. It has a revenue stream that belongs to it. So in a way, these are revenue bonds. Do they pay for themselves?
Well, they're called, I don't know what kind of bonds they are.
Because there's different kinds of bonds, right? There's the kind of bond where you spend money on something and you never have any income from it. And there's another kind, which I actually think are not that bad an idea, where you spend money, you buy an asset, it generates revenue, and the revenue pays off the bonds. And so, in the end, the taxpayers are neutral, if you will. And I'm unclear as to which this is.
Okay. We're closing the stack, so please get in line if you want to speak.
Drew Johnson, Santa Clara County. I am a veteran from this era, actually. I can tell you, being pretty familiar with veterans' benefits, that they're enormously inadequate. And as Gene had just said, you know, it's really not a great idea that our society, in so many cases, if they ever get around to, trying to do something for reparations to a group, in so many cases it's after they're dead or, you know, when they're elderly. This is, I think, and actually I served as part of the California Army National Guard, so I was part of the group that went down to L.A. for the L.A. Rebellion, as the African Americans call it. Okay, so we as a group are not well cared for. You're going to ask us to, you know, do something for our country. It's only right that we be cared for as we get older. I'm not crazy about bonds either, but I try to pick out bonds that I think, you know, have merit to them, and this is one that I do think has merit.
Bob Marsh, Alameda County. Okay, we're not gullible environmentalists anymore, right? But I think we still may be a bit gullible on the financial side. First of all, just a technical thing about this. This extends a program that's already been around for a long time. So if it doesn't pass, essentially the most recent veterans won't be covered by a benefit that all the previous veterans had, which would be a very weird situation. So on that basis alone, I think we should pass it. I echo what Gene said about bonds. A bond is like a mortgage. How many of us can pay for a house out of, if we wanted to buy a house out of current revenue? None of us. Okay, so you have to borrow the money. Those one of the things. Sorry.
As a veteran who got a house, I got to tell you that we shouldn't have bonds. The federal government drafts us.
Wait, can you hear your name? I'm sorry.
Oh, Bob Smith, Los Angeles. It should be a thing that the federal government automatically, like they did when I got my education and my house, was paid for. I never heard anything about a bond. It was just paid for because of the service I'd done, and that's what we need to do with our servicemen. We need to have a law that they're, if they're going to be drafted or if they're going to be joined and fight for something supposedly, then they need to be taken care of.
But this is CalPERS, right?
Well, yes, because the feds don't extend it to the current.
Okay. Do we want to? Okay, we tested for consensus. Let's do a straw poll then. So, as before, yes, no, no position, abstain. Okay, how many want to say yes on this one? I get 22. Okay. No. Two, no position. We missed somebody. Abstentions? Okay, we definitely missed somebody. Should we go to a vote?
Yeah, it's close enough. We should go to a vote.
Okay.
What's the number?
12.
12.
Proposition 12, yes means we support, no means we don't, abstentions, and no position means we take no position. Are we ready? Delegate one. Oh, wait a minute. Let's have a tally. Do we have our tally person present?
I'm here.
All right. Note taker. Okay. One. Delegate one.
Yes.
Delegate two.
Yes.
Delegate three.
Yes.
Delegate four. Okay. Delegate four.
Yes.
Delegate five. Yes. Delegate six.
Yes.
Delegate seven.
Yes.
Delegate eight. Delegate 9, is 9 present?
Yeah, I'm present. I'm going to change it to yes.
Yes, okay. Delegate 10.
Sorry.
Okay. Delegate 11.
Yes.
Delegate 12.
Yes.
Delegate 13.
Yes.
Delegate 14.
No position.
Delegate 15.
No position.
Delegate 16.
Yes.
Delegate 17.
Yes.
Delegate 8.
Wait.
16 is yes.
17.
Yes. 18.
Abstain.
Okay. Delegate 19.
Yes,
okay. Delegate 20.
Yes.
Delegate 21.
Yes.
Delegate 22.
Yes.
Delegate 23.
No.
Delegate 24. 23 was no. 24. Is 24 present?
Yes.
Yes. Delegate 25.
Yes.
Are you okay? We're ready. Yeah, we're ready. Delegate 26.
Yes.
Delegate 27.
Yes.
Delegate 28.
Yes.
Yes. Delegate 29.
Yes.
Delegate 30.
Yes.
Delegate 31. Okay, that's all the delegates, right? Okay. Okay, can we get a report on the count?
There's one no, one yes.
27 yeses.
He's got a half. He
Okay.
Yes, 27.
Yes.
27 yeses, 2 no position, 1 abstain, 1 no. It passes.
Okay, so the only item then on this agenda matter that remains for county polling is the high-speed rail bond, with or without legislative amendments, whatever happens. So please take this issue back to your counties. Please, between now and September 21st, have your internal discussions and get your votes in to Kat and Tim. Each county has the same number of votes as you have a right to bring delegates to this General Assembly. You can distribute those votes in any manner you prefer, including half votes. So please do this so our state party can take a position on this measure. Thank you.
And also, we often don't get quorum on county polls. So I would like to be able to contact someone in each county to be able to check in with you, have you done this, and so forth. So could people make sure that you get a phone number, you know, at least one county council person in your county, a contact number to me so that I can contact you? My home phone number is 415-897-6989. 415-897-6989. Thanks very much for the idea. That's much better.
Okay, we're ready to move to the breakout sessions. Matt, take it away.
Okay, everybody, breakout. come on, raise the... All right. Little of that went on here last night, I understand. We have 3 breakout sessions that are scheduled. The second session for the Campaigns and Candidates Working Group, which will be in this room. I'm going to repeat. Campaigns and Candidates Working Group will be in this room. Warner Bloomberg is coordinator for that group, and Warner will be able to organize you here. On the front lawn, I'm calling it over here, where I'm pointing to my left, we have a canopy set up for the other two groups, bylaws and green issues. So I'm just going to arbitrarily say bylaws toward the this way and green issues that way. I don't know. Whoever are the coordinators for those groups can run out and stake out the canopy they like, and I'll kind of watch and see if we need more chairs. Thank you. Do we have the coordinators for bylaws here? Are they here at the moment? Bylaws coordinator is Jim Stauffer at the rear of the room. No, he's not. Jim is on bylaws, but he's not the coordinator. So the coordinator is not here. We just want to be able to designate whoever's in bylaws, so just that's where it is. Okay. Is there anybody from Green Issues here? Okay. All right. Anyway, they're both outside. Thank you.
Okay. So we don't have to reconvene before lunch, right? We're done.
Great. Wait a minute. One more announcement. Order in the court. Yeah, there we go. Okay, just if you look at your agenda, there is nothing else after the breakout session. Yeah, after the breakout session, we are going to lunch. So shall we reconvene? What do we want to do about time? Do we want to reconvene at 1:05 as the agenda says? 1:15. 1:05. I'm for it. Okay, 1:05 here.